Your hometown radio station. Sunny 1230 WXCO, Wausau.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. I'm Aaron Moret, along with Michael Moret, and today we'll be continuing through our study of the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 3, and we'll be picking things up right where we left off last week in verse 21. Dad, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. Bright, sunny March morning. A little chilly out there, but it's nice to see the sunshine, right?
Yep. At least the sun is always warmer now.
An opening day a week from tomorrow.
Baseball season right
baseball
around the corner.
Season. Yep. Yes, sir.
That is always good.
Let's begin with prayer. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And we are in John chapter 3, resuming our study in verse 21. But I'm going to go back and begin reading in verse 16 of John chapter 3, which says this. Jesus is speaking. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought or worked in God. In other words, Jesus is saying that a real Christian doesn't run from the light of God's word like an unsaved person who loves their sin. A real Christian wants to be in the light. He wants to be in prayer. He wants to be in the Word. He wants to be close to God. He wants God to show him if he's doing something wrong so that he can change it, because he desires to please Jesus. And so, if that's not your attitude, then you're not saved. You're not a Christian, according to the biblical definition, which is the only one that counts. And somebody might say, Moret, you can't be that dogmatic. You can't be that narrow and that judgmental. I am as narrow as the Word of God. I am as narrow and as broad as Jesus when it comes to what he says. That's what I believe, and that's what Scripture teaches. And I will say this to anyone who may be listening. You're playing a game of let's pretend. If you think you're a Christian and yet you don't want to please Jesus, and the bad thing is that you're going to get blindsided upon your death, and you're going to end up in the lake of fire if that's the case.
And to kind of add on to what you were saying, you know, to start verse 21 here, it says, but anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light. We talked last week about how people who want nothing to do with God are offended by him and stay away from him. But people who seek truth will come to God. If you truly seek truth, you're going to find God. You're going to find Jesus. You're going to find him because he is the only truth. He's the only way. He's the only God. Only one God. And that's the God that we worship. So if we or somebody out there is at all interested in truth, they'll be drawn to Jesus. Eventually, they'll be drawn to Jesus. And anyone who claims to be interested in truth but continues to reject Christ is lying. And they're not really interested in the truth if they continue to reject him. So those interested in truth clearly will be drawn to truth, and the only thing that they could possibly be drawn to is Jesus.
That will be the end result. And sometimes it's a process that takes people there, but people who have a genuine heart for truth will, like you said, eventually be led to Jesus. God will make sure of it. That's what he did for Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. There was a man who loved the truth, didn't know anything. He wasn't even a Jewish person. He was a Gentile, but he had a heart for truth. And he lived up to the truth that he understood, and God revealed more truth to him. And finally, he revealed the truth about Jesus. And you know what happened? Because he did have a heart for truth, when he heard about Jesus, he immediately accepted it because it was truth.
And it's amazing to me how many people you run into out there who are not interested in truth at all. They're not interested in Jesus. They're not interested in what the Bible has to say. They are not interested even in truth in routine daily activities. They're not interested in if the Packers aren't playing well. People aren't interested in the truth in that.
They're not playing well.
Right.
Yeah.
Why would they ever be interested in the truth of Jesus? But it amazes me how many people out there just are not interested in truth, who would rather walk through life with their eyes closed than experience what the truth really is. It just baffles me that there are so many people out there who are like that.
A lot of them just want to go by their feelings, or they go by their emotions. Verse 22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And actually, in John chapter 4, verse 2, we're going to read that Jesus didn't actually do any baptizing himself. His disciples did the baptizing, which means that his disciples baptizing by his command was in reality Christ baptizing, as it says right here. And it just goes to show that no matter what we do, whatever good we do for Jesus in Jesus' name, is actually Christ doing it through us. It is he who ministers the word through you and I on Sunday morning. You go out and you do a good deed for the glory of Jesus. It is Jesus working in you and through you, accomplishing those things, which is why all things are to be done for the glory of God.
And it's kind of cool when you think about it that God uses us. Mm-hmm. He chooses to use us, or he chooses to use some of our listeners this morning,
mm-hmm,
to do something for him. And that, I think, for any Christian, if you really stop and you really think about God taking you and using you, whether he's using you and I this morning as a mouthpiece for himself, or if he's using somebody else in a way that where they are praying, if you really stop and think about it, it's really an honor to be able to serve God. When we're looking at verse 22 here, I just wanted to point out something. In the second half of this verse, where it says he spent time with them, Jesus and his disciples spent time together. And I think our lesson today is this: if you want to know Jesus better, you have to spend time with him. You have to read the Bible, and you have to pray, and you seek God out. You pursue him. We choose how we want to spend our time and who we spend it with. And the important thing is to choose to spend as much time as you can with God. And remember that God will spend time with you too. You know, he will, he'll spend time teaching you his word when you read it. He'll also spend time listening to you when you pray. And this is just something that I like to do, or my way that I like to look at things. It kind of puts things in perspective for me. But I kind of figure that it works this way. When I read the Bible, I'm spending time with God and in his word. And when I pray, when I'm reading the Bible, it's an opportunity for me to just be quiet, not say a word, and let God talk to me, because you're reading his word. And when I pray, I look at it this way: okay, now is my time that I talk. And what happens when I talk? God sits quietly and he listens. He listens to what you do. And it's always nice in life to have a friend that you can talk to and who's not going to talk over you and just going to listen. And that's what God does. And that's the best way to do it. Because, when you think about it, when you're reading his word, you can't concentrate if your mind is wandering and thinking about other things. You have to just sit quietly and just read. That's what you have to do to read God's word. You're not interrupting him when you're doing that. On the flip side, when you pray, God doesn't interrupt you either. So I guess, you know, that my point is, those are two great ways to spend time with God. And that's how you get closer to him. That's how you get closer to Jesus, only by spending time with him.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good way to look at it. It's true, too. Verse 23, and John, speaking of John the Baptist, also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. So we see that John the Baptist didn't quit baptizing after Jesus came on the scene. John is going to keep doing what God called him to do until God allows circumstances that will keep him from doing it. And I want to read verse 23 and 24 again. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. It says that John was not yet cast into prison, but he will be. And when he is, that's going to put an end to his ministry of baptism. It's not going to put an end to his ministry entirely, because he's going to be preaching to Herod and anybody else who listened to him, I suppose the guards too, while he's in prison, just like the Apostle Paul did. But that's going to put an end to that particular part of his ministry that he was known for, which is baptism. And it leads me to say this. It is important for us to do all that we can do while we can. You said it's such a privilege, it's such an honor to be used by God. And God wants to use every Christian in their own unique way. No matter where you work, no matter where you go to school, no matter what you're doing, God wants to use you in the midst of that environment. And it's important for us to do all we can while we can. Jesus said this, we must work while it is day, for the night comes when no one can work. So if you're going to do something for Jesus, you better do it now. If you're going to help get out the word of God, you better start helping now. If you are going to live for Jesus, you better start doing it right now, because the time is short. And once this brief life is over, it's over for good. And if you're a Christian, if you're really a Christian, you do not want to be on your deathbed thinking, I wish I would not have been a spiritual slacker. You don't want to be on your deathbed thinking, I wish I wouldn't have been so lukewarm toward Jesus. I wish I would have done more to share the word of God. I wish I would have done more to show Christ that I love him and that I appreciate him for dying for me and saving me from hell. If you don't want to be in that situation, then you need to get serious about Jesus right now. If you are not already serious, you need to do it right now, right this second. Don't wait till tomorrow, because you know what happens? You forget. Things happen.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've talked before, and in our first couple of studies as well here, talked about John. I don't think you can get a much better example of somebody who knew his place and who served God and who served Jesus right up to the very end. And just to follow up a little bit on what you said, I like how in verse 24, I like how it says that John was still baptizing because he had not yet been thrown into prison. It was just a given to the writer of this book. And to others that, well, if he's not in prison, of course, you know, he's still out there serving God.
Yeah.
But, you know, John did his job for God right up to the bitter end. And that's a very good lesson for us. You know, and like you said, even after John was in prison, he was preaching to Herod. Up until he died, he served God. And John served God constantly and very intensely as well. But notice that not all went well for him all the time. He ended up going to prison.
Yeah.
Ended up having his head cut off.
Yep.
And don't let anyone tell you that if you serve Jesus, that your physical life will be wonderful and prosperous, nothing but good times. That's not true. But on the contrary, when you do serve Jesus, your spiritual life will be great. It doesn't mean that you're not going to encounter financial or other problems in this world, or sickness, whatever the case may be, anything bad that could happen to you physically, because you still will. But what really counts is that spiritual life and having God in your life. And that's truly when you feel alive. You know, you could be dying of a terrible disease, and your body could be shutting down. But if you are close to God and you have great spiritual life, you're going to feel as alive as anyone, because that's the life that really counts. And I think it's very important, because there are a lot of people out there who try to sell themselves and make a nice payday by claiming that, you know, if you're a Christian, you have enough faith, everything's going to go well for you. Well, somebody apparently didn't tell John that, because John dealt with the Pharisees, he dealt with the religious rulers hassling him all the time. John didn't have a fun life. Look at John. How much money did John have? He was out in the desert.
Eating locusts.
Yeah, okay. So he was not necessarily physically prosperous. Spiritually, definitely was. But physically, don't let anyone tell you that you're going to be just, set for life if you have enough faith.
No.
Because that is not true. You find somebody in the Bible who had more faith than John. I don't know if you're going to, but John did not have all this, the health and wealth.
Not at all. And you can't find that in Scripture unless you copy and paste all sorts of Scriptures from everywhere and then put them together and build yourself a nice, sweet doctrine that really isn't based on anything except greed.
And the real terrible part of it is that...
Yeah, wait a minute. Let me just interrupt you for a second. I'll speak over you like mm-hmm. Jesus doesn't do. You are so right. John the Baptist, I don't think he doesn't take a back seat to anybody when it comes to faith.
No, not at all. And as far as, you know, those people that do promote that if you have enough faith, everything's going to be good. The really bad part about that, I should say one of the really bad parts about it, is that they prey and feed on desperate people mm-hmm. who are looking to be healed or who are in a terrible financial spot. Now, it's those people's fault that go to them anyway, but it's the fault, too, of those who teach that junk and draw people into that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do prey on vulnerable people, and I've known many. Verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you bear witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. And so John the Baptist had some disciples, you know, and they came to John here, and they said, John, you know that Jesus who you pointed to as the Messiah? Well, he's intruding into your ministry. In other words, they're saying, John, Jesus is getting more people than you are now. And I don't know, what do you think? Do you think they expect John to start advertising or what? It almost seems that that's what the implication is. Well, you need to do something here. But look at verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven, which means that God has a plan for each one of us who know him, for every single Christian. And our job is to be faithful and obedient to do what God wants, what he has called us to do, to use the spiritual gifts that he has given. You say, how do I know what my spiritual gift is? What do you do when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? What do you do when the Holy Spirit is you're under the control of the Holy Spirit? What do you do? That's your spiritual gift. And when you do what God wants you to do, that's the important thing. Because as we are faithful and obedient to do what we can, God is going to determine the extent of our outward success. That's his business. That's not our business. We're not even supposed to be worried about that. And that's what John was saying. Our job is to be faithful. God's job is to determine the results of our faithfulness and produce the results. We're just there. We're just there like a pawn, like a vehicle that he can use. And so John is saying to his disciples, don't bother me about how many people I'm baptizing compared to how many people Jesus and his disciples are baptizing. I don't care. I do not care. He says, I can't do anything unless God blesses it. I can't do anything beyond what God allows me to do. I can't have any more success than what God allows. And John didn't care. He just kept doing what he had always been doing, and he left the results to God.
Again, verse 27, no one can receive a single thing unless it's given to him from heaven. That nothing you have or nothing I have or do is done because of yourself. It's all God's gift to you. God gives you things, and he allows you to do things. You know, God gave us, me and you, this opportunity to be on the air this morning. God gave me, a car, gave you a truck that we drove here in, and he let you have that. You know, no wonder the Bible says that, in general, that being humble makes God happy.
Right.
And one of the obvious reasons for that is that God has given us everything. None of us have any reason to boast about anything that we've done or that we've accomplished, because, I even have a hard time, when you look at a verse like this, it's hard to even make that statement to say that we've done this or we've accomplished something. It's God that has accomplished mm-hmm. it. And like we were talking about earlier, it's God just using us. That's all it is. I mentioned a few verses ago, God using me and you as his mouthpiece. It's using us. We're not accomplishing anything. We wouldn't be here this morning if it wasn't for God. God gave us a car. God gave me this microphone right here. God has given us everything that we have. And I think in addition to that, something to keep in mind too, that's kind of neat, is not only does God give us stuff, but he lets us do stuff, and he lets us, use stuff. He doesn't block us from doing certain things. Just something to keep in mind.
And it's good to recognize that and tell God how much you appreciate it as well, so that we don't take it for granted and so that we put everything in proper perspective. I think I'm glad that you zeroed in on this verse a little bit more, because it is so rich. A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. As I was walking out of my apartment building this morning, I'm just walking down the hall and I'm thanking God that I can walk. I'm thanking God that I can see, that I can hear. I'm thanking God that I had some food for breakfast. I'm thanking God that I could see the sunshine. I'm thanking God that I could come and pick you up and we could come to the radio station. And it's just important to do that, because God needs to be recognized, and he likes that. We should give glory unto God.
Right, and the thing is, too, you said you were thanking him. Again, we can take this verse and zero in on what you were doing on the way here. Not only was God letting you walk and see and everything else and eat this morning, God also let you thank him.
That's right.
He lets you pray. He lets us pray to him. There's nothing.
It's all
there's
by his grace.
You do. Yeah, if you blinked right now as you're listening to us, it's because God lets you do it.
That's right.
And God gave you the ability to do that. Small or great, doesn't matter. There's always something to be thankful for.
And a lot of times we don't appreciate God the way we should until we start losing some of those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Verse 28, you yourselves bear witness that I said, I'm not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. So John is reminding his disciples, who seem to be jealous on his behalf, John is reminding his disciples about what he had said all along. And you and I have been talking about this from the very first verse in this chapter, in this book. John's reminding his disciples about what he's always said. He never said that he was important. He never even thought that he was important. And John certainly never tried to get a following for himself. But look at how his disciples fell into that trap. He didn't care about that stuff. All he ever tried to do was to get people to follow God. And that's why he's not upset that people are following Jesus. And here's something to remember. People whose major goal in life is to honor God, they do not get upset when they are not honored. So somebody treats you with dishonor. Somebody doesn't treat you the way they should treat you. And that's true. Let's say they don't. Okay. If your goal in life is to honor God, you're not going to get all shook up. You're not going to get all upset. You're not going to dwell on that. What you're going to dwell on is how to honor God in the midst of being dishonored by other people. Because that's the most important thing to you. That's what takes precedence in your life, is honoring God, not how much honor you receive or don't receive.
And as far as John is concerned, we did talk in one of our first studies about how he did not try to take any of the spotlight from Jesus, and he was humble. And he made it clear that he was not the Messiah. So now, you know, in a way, with his disciples, it's sort of paying off for him. He doesn't have to backtrack here. He just has to remind people of what he had previously said. He didn't try to take any credit from God back in chapter 1. And at this point, here in chapter 3, his life is now easier because of that. He didn't have to backtrack. He didn't have to try to dig himself out of a hole that he dug with his words. Because when you speak the truth, you never have to worry about getting, you know, so to say, caught in your words. And things were very simple here for John. John just says, hey, just remember what I said. And he doesn't change his story. He doesn't have to, because from the very beginning, he spoke the truth, and he didn't try to take any of the attention away from Jesus. He did the right thing, and now it's he's seeing benefits from it, just benefits even in the form of not having any headaches because of anything that he may have said that was not true earlier.
It's true. Verse 29, he that has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy. Therefore, this my joy, I should say, therefore is fulfilled. So, in other words, John continues and he says, it doesn't bother me that people are going to Christ. You know, the bridegroom gets to go home with his new wife, and Jesus gets to have the devotion of the people, and that's the way it should be. And again, if we are promoting Jesus Christ as we should be, then we are successful no matter what else does or doesn't happen. It doesn't matter. Promoting Jesus and proclaiming his word makes us successful regardless of the outcome. That's the important thing. And I love verse 30. We'll probably wrap it up with this, huh? He must increase, but I must decrease. Boy, that's a good thing to live by. Jesus must increase and I must decrease. Jesus must become more important in the eyes of people, not me. John didn't want the devotion from people. He wanted Jesus to have all the devotions. And I think, you know, there are some preachers, unfortunately, today who want people to think that they are cool or that they are cute. You know, they try to be cool. They try to be entertaining. They want people to think that they're intellectual, so they use big words that nobody can understand. They want people to like them. They want to be popular. John couldn't care less about that garbage. And that's what that is garbage. It's putrid, disgusting, vile, filthy, scene-stealing idolatry with self on the throne. If Jesus is our Lord, then our goal should be to die to self and submit to Christ, and make sure that he receives all the glory and all the accolades, and we're secondary at best.
And going back just a couple of verses here to, you know, going back to verse 29 too, you know, it should make, and verse 29 again says, he who has the bride is the groom, but the groom's friend who stands by and listens for him rejoices greatly at the groom's voice. So this joy of mine is complete. And then on to say, obviously, in verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. It should make Christians happy to hear Jesus being talked about and to see his word being spread. Because as John said, Jesus must increase. That is because Jesus is the most important thing. And any Christian knows how important Jesus is. And therefore, they're happy when Jesus talked about and when he is recognized as the God and Savior. And they're happy when he has the spotlight on him because they know how important he is. And when the spotlight, like you said, is not on yourself, that is when it's really important.
That is the important thing.
I want to thank everyone for listening here this morning. If you want to get a hold of us, you can do that. We would appreciate hearing from you. Call the Scripture Verse by Verse Hotline, 715-845-8298, 715-845-8298. Also, write us, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54403. That's P.O. Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54403. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. Again, we appreciate you listening to us here this morning. We'll be back next week and pick it up here again in the Gospel of John.